Today's podcast is brought to you by my book, The Sex Spiral, Forgiven and Free from Pornography. The Sex Spiral will teach you God's design for sexuality, the triggers that lead to porn addiction, and how to exit the sex spiral with a purity plan for your life. You can order online at Amazon.com or any other retailer. Hey, thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy today's show. Welcome to the Dustin Daniels Show, a radio program dedicated to bridging the gap between pornography and the church pew, a radio broadcast devoted to exposing the lie that's in pornography, and instead pursuing the purity that's in Jesus Christ. I am your host, a redeemed sex addict, and now a pastor to those who truly want help with understanding their sexual brokenness and this journey to sexual wholeness with Jesus. Now, if you're asking yourself, why? Why a radio program on porn and purity? Well, it's much more than that. It really is. It's much more than just porn and purity. It's more about intimacy. And the intimacy that we all long for with our spouse and that we long for with Jesus ultimately. I mean, it's about becoming sexually whole and how we learn how to do this with a community of believers. So this show is not just about sexual purity. It really has a lot more to do with moral and spiritual purity that Jesus himself displayed while he walked and he lived among us. I mean, after all, we do have an epidemic on our hands. We do have an identity crisis with our sexuality. And at the end of the day, we really don't know who we are. I mean, we're confused. 50 to 60% of Christian men are addicted to porn. In the clinical world, it's known as HD, hypersexual disorder. But did you hear what I just said? 50 to 60% of Christian men who love Jesus as their Lord and their Savior, they don't just have a problem with porn. They're addicted to it. They can't live without it. And then 20 to 30% of Christian women also addicted to porn. Now, let me stop right here and just let you know I can relate to that because I chased the lie. I chased this porn lie, this sex lie, this adultery lie for over 20 years of my life. And now my job is to simply share with you the hundreds upon hundreds of stories of things not to do because I chose to do the very things that the world told me to do. I mean, the world told me and they showed me it was perfectly okay to look at porn. So I did. It was perfectly okay to experiment with sexuality by going to strip clubs and phone sex and cyber sex and committing adultery multiple times. It was okay to destroy families in that process. That's what the world showed me. It was okay to treat women as a commodity. That's what the world said. And I'm here to tell you that the world's wrong. It didn't work. So the things that we talk about on this program, they're not necessarily from a book, but from the thousands of prideful and arrogant mistakes that I chose to make over the course of 20 plus years of my life searching for something that was ultimately a lie. So what I'm here to do is start this conversation about porn and about sex and about purity. So you as a father and as a mother and as a family, you can now continue this conversation tonight or maybe this weekend. Because here's the thing, right? This is not a rated R show. This is a family discussion. This is a Christ-centered program that discusses the freedom that comes with sexual purity. And look, guys, I get it. It's an uncomfortable conversation. But it's a conversation that you must have with your spouse and your children. Because at the end of the day, someone in your family has a problem with or is addicted to porn, which leads to a sexual identity crisis. And if that's you, let me first say this. Number one, Jesus loves you. And secondly, I love you. And there's a community of people who will embrace you and welcome you to be a part of this journey to purity. So I would encourage you to visit sevenplaces.org. You want to spell out the number seven, S-E-V-E-N, places.org. There's a free online community You can do that for free. It's absolutely anonymous. There's video blogs on there. There's an audio player. It's got various teachings on there. You can find out about local support groups, and it really lets you know that you're not alone. So today on the show, to help us start this conversation, we have Mark Miller. Mark, you are the Phoenix chapter president of a ministry called Truth at Work. You are the chairman of the board of Seven Places Ministries, and you are a dear, dear friend and mentor to me, and I'm so honored to have you on as a guest. This is going to be fun. So welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. I'm guilty on all three of those accounts, by the way.
Before we dive into the topic of prayer, and that's what we want to focus on today, is really tell us a little bit about yourself, your family, and what Truth at Work is.
Oh, sure. I've got three grown kids from 27 to 21, and I've been married to Glenda for 33 years. You'd think I'd have it all figured out, particularly in the area we're talking about. I don't.
You don't?
And I got a real gift this year, and a friend of mine showed up who'd been married 47 years and said, "Hey, I got it about year 33, 34. So we plug on, right?
Right.
Truth at Work is a really a neat marketplace ministry that's dedicated to the journey from being a Christian business owner.
Okay.
To being a kingdom business owner. And they're very different things, and the world doesn't understand it, and most of the churches don't understand it. And some of the guys I'm talking to, some of the women I'm talking to get that, and it is a journey, and we do monthly roundtables that engage that process, and we have more fun. I just love what I do, what God's got me doing.
Back in 2008, you called me, and I don't know if you remember this conversation or not, but you said, "Hey, this is Mark, and a friend of a friend of a friend told me," and he said, "Man, that sounds like something Dustin would be interested in hearing." And you tell me what you're doing. I'm thinking, "Wow, this is great. This is awesome."
I remember this.
And I go, "But there's one big problem, Mark, and the problem is that I'm really broke. No, I'm not just broke. I'm broke. I'm probably the brokest person in the history of the world. I am broke.
You were close to destitute, if I remember.
Yeah,
right.
I was a mess. I was flat broke, and I wanted to come and join. And what did God tell you when people said that to you? Because back in 2007 to 2008, things weren't going well, right?
No, they were real interesting. And this is a little background. I was in corporate America for 30 years. And so I kind of get that world, and we know how that's all structured. And I got booted out like so many others, right? And God showed up, and he asked me a question that changed my life. He said, "Mark, are you ready to learn how to trust me?"
Mm.
The problem with that question is I've been teaching people to trust him for 10 years. Now, that's important to this conversation because what I've learned in the last 5 years, I've been on this journey now 5 years, is I had to unlearn a bunch of what both the world and the church taught me.
Because you were doing retreats everything, right?
I led retreat after retreat on how to find God, how to trust God, how to pray. And God just had me sweep all that off the table and teach me again. And that's the real gift, right, is this idea that he will teach us, he will speak to us. That's why we're here to talk about today, right?
Absolutely.
And one of the things he taught me was early on, about the time I talked to you, he says, "Mark, I'll let you know when you can charge somebody." Well, that just blew my whole world up. I'm saying, "Lord, what do you mean you'll let me know? I mean, this is the marketplace. I do a service and I get paid for it." He said, "I'll let you know." And that day with you, you said, "I've got any money." And the Spirit of God whispered in my back of my head and he said, "It'll be all right, Mark." And you were with me, it wasn't even 6 months or so.
Right.
And God began to move. And it's been just a neat, profitable relationship with me for a while.
And it wasn't just finances either, Mark. I mean, just being broke, I was spiritually broke. I was mentally broke, physically broke. I mean, business was not good, right? And here you are. So it was much more than finances.
Well, and along those lines, really, that's it, right? I mean, the purpose of the marketplace is secondarily money, is primarily the redemption of relationships, of broken people. That's what he's called. That's the heartbeat of a kingdom business owner, right? And so they just, as it turned out, that just flowed, right? And you were restored in many ways through what God did in all that time together. It was really a cool experience.
No doubt. The past 4 or 5 years have been an absolutely amazing journey with you, and this is going to be fun. So one thing that I noticed right from the start with your groups that you led and just getting to know you personally was the way that you prayed and how you prayed and that you had something that I didn't have. You had a way to speak and talk to Almighty God, and I just found that intriguing, and he continues to show me many, many things with our relationship. But in your own journey, can you just talk a little bit about prayer and the things that you've done and not done and tried to do? And
now, you know, looking back on it now, 5 years, now I'm 5 years forward, looking back over my life, what I now realize was I was a Pharisee of Pharisees.
Mm.
The problem with that is you never know it when you are. Right? And so sure. I don't know how long I was like that, and I regularly apologize to people who were in my world back then, and they kind of look at me like I've lost my mind. But really, I was. And what's the definition of that? The definition is we live legally, right?
Sure.
We absolutely have all the answers. And that's the way I was with my faith and my religion and my, and I've been a Christian a long, long time. But man, I had all the answers, and prayer was one of those errors. Man, I had it, man. This is, you know, I learned the different types of prayers and, you know, the different models of prayer, and you know, and it was largely about an event as opposed to a relationship. And the gift God gave me 5 years ago when He challenged me to undo much of my thinking. Was he encouraged? Well, actually, I think he thought I was nuts, but I pushed all of my religious thinking off the table.
Right.
And I just said, I'm done. The only two things I kept doing were attending church,
okay,
and reading His Word.
Okay.
Everything, including prayer, stopped.
Wow.
And I simply, at the moment that he showed up and asked me that question, are you ready to learn to trust me? And I'm telling you, that was a sobering, sobering moment, because all of a sudden I realized many of my 25 or 30 years in Christianity must have been wasted. We're just built on rubble and just stuff. I said, okay, well, you know what? One of the things I'm going to quit doing is praying, because clearly what I know about praying ain't working. And you know what? He's so faithful. And I didn't do it for several years, Dustin. And then about a year and a half ago, he showed up. And I call them God intersections, as you well know,
sure,
right? Because
absolutely,
when God wants to teach us or guide us or direct us, certainly He'll use His Word. Certainly He'll use His Spirit. But in particularly, I found in the marketplace, He uses the intersections He creates in our lives and our businesses. That's what you and I were that day.
Yeah.
You needed a God intersection. I made the call. You responded. And we often miss those. I spent most of my life missing those. But the cool thing about prayer was I had to undo most of what I knew. And about a year and a half ago, after 3-some-plus years of not doing it, He showed up and he brought somebody to my life. And she was an amazing prayer warrior, not like I've any prayer warrior I'd ever known. And I recognized the intersection. And since then, step by step, He has completely rebuilt what I now call my quiet time as opposed to prayer time.
Right.
It speaks much more to me that those words are much more important to me than prayer time.
Right. And I find it interesting that you didn't stop going to church through this process, that you still had a community of people that you were with. And that's so important.
Because when we get separated, then it's easy to get in the darkness,
oh,
isn't it? That's the key in the sexual purity stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah. And here was my prayer for I don't know how many years, Mark, was something like this. Okay, God, if you're real, I need you to take this away from me. Now, okay, I know you probably knew what I did last week and that thing that I did last night. I really want to stop. So if you're real, will you just take this from me? I mean, I know I prayed the same exact thing last week, but I really, 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 really mean it this time. Amen. That was my prayer for 20 years.
Sure. Force me to be what you want me to be, Lord.
Right?
Just do something in my life.
Yeah, do some type of miraculous thing. And I'm not saying that He can't do that. But this is a process, and one of the
journey is the word I use for it.
It is a journey, absolutely. It's a walk, mm-hmm. Right? One of the ideas that we've talked about before is that God talks to all of us. Say more about that, Mark.
Well, and that was really pivotal in my own personal walk, because when He showed up that day and said that to me, you know, you're ready to learn to trust me. I thought about it for a second, realized number one, I could say no.
Right.
And because I was mature enough to get that we say yes and no to God. The other thing I realized, if I said yes, it was going to hurt.
Mm.
And it has. It's been really painful because parts of me had to die, right?
Absolutely.
But my I'd have this bargaining gig with God, right? I said, okay, I'm in.
Don't we all?
Let me think. Yeah, we really do. I'm just more obnoxious about it than most, right? I said, okay. I thought about it for a couple hours. And then I said, okay, you know what, God? I'm in. But here's my requirement to be in. And this changed everything. I said, you have to talk so I can hear.
Mm.
Because for years, whenever I asked God a question and He didn't respond at all, there was just absolute silence there. I assumed I hadn't prayed enough, I hadn't served enough, I hadn't loved enough, I'd done something stupid.
Right.
Now I realize that's all just religious garbage that we put up to keep from hearing his voice. And you know what? He's happy to do that. If we'll just make space for him and ask and invite him to the journey with us, he will show up. And that's what's happened. And I learned a principle that's been absolutely pivotal to this, right? And it's called the prayer of silence.
Mm.
Now, the contemplatives and the great mystics, they get all this, right? I feel like but those words never went together.
Right.
You never put those words in the same sentence. The prayer to me was talking. And when I got really good at it, I found it made a list. I'm done with all lists, by the way, guys. I'm done with all lists. And I'd find a scripture that went with the list, and I'd pray the list and the scripture and then tell God what to do. Those are all done. Now,
how'd that work out for you?
Like I think it works for just about all of us. You know, the God of the universe will show up and help us. Like you said, sometimes he'll show up and take that desire away.
Right.
But you know what? My prayers like that, those were simply excuses to not do my part. What I now know so clearly is that God owns it, which means that we're the chief stewards, right?
Right.
But so all we have to do is do our part. It's nothing more complicated
now,
than that.
Now, the prayer of silence for a redeemed addict, you know, there's something about silence that we're just scared to death of it. So for me, and of course, you know, hindsight's always 20/20. I can look over my shoulder, yeah, and there's nothing more important than this prayer time in the morning for me to be alone and just be in solitude with Almighty God. But explain your journey, how you came to accept this prayer of silence and what it meant to you.
Well, and I got connected. God created intersections in my world. One was for a Catholic mystic named Richard Rohr, and I know you and I intersected independently with him, right?
Yeah.
And he was meaningful to us. And so I began to read and study that stuff. But really, the prayer of silence for me, when I first ran into it, I kind of was going to throw it away. The prayer of silence is really about, it starts with just clearing your mind, which is what you're talking about.
Absolutely.
Right? And there's a whole process that he's taught me about how to do. It's not complicated. I mean, the problem is the first, as you start this process, it seems like forever, and your mind is just screaming. There's all these thoughts and all this busyness, and it never quiets down.
Right.
And for me, it took a while to work my way through that. But it was something as easy as a notepad and a pen, right? And when I would sit to go, okay, God, I'm here with you. I'm not here to get anything from you. I'm here to hear your voice. And then you have to learn to quiet the mind. And that's the hardest part. That's what I think you're talking about.
Absolutely. Because we don't know how to quiet the mind. If, you know, as addicts or as someone involved in porn, we've got way too much stimulation going on in our brain, which, by the way, is the biggest sex organ we have. And when we wake up in the morning, it's go, 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 go. And then, oh, if I do have a prayer time, okay, well, it's going to look like this. Check this thing off.
Soundbite.
I just don't know how to be silent, to read a piece of scripture and allow him the God room to actually speak to us, because that scares me to death, Mark. And for those of you who are kind of scratching your heads listening to us right now, I just want to encourage you tomorrow morning, take a piece of scripture, read it, and just try. And, you know, the Apostle Paul talks about this with renewing your mind. And this is part of the process, right? Can
absolutely.
You say more on that?
Oh, absolutely. So for me, the way I learned it is once I learned to quiet my mind, which was literally sitting quietly, you know, I always start thanking him and I'm grateful for what he's done for me. Because
right.
The very breath that we are, right?
Sure.
But that process of getting quiet is more difficult than for others. But that idea of just scribbling down all your notes, a friend of mine calls it getting the cows in the barn,
right?
All the cows that are running, get them in the barn. And then often it moves right to, God, here's the issue I can see in a scripture.
Right?
And either there'll be a scripture one. Lately I've been meditating on Ephesians 1:18-19, right? May the God of hope open the eyes of our heart.
Amen.
That's what I'm asking for now. Open the eyes of my heart, Father. And you meditate on that. If I don't know a scripture, I have my little PDA out, and I go, hopelessness scripture, and hit the button on Google, and it gives me scriptures, and I find one, and God speaks. And then you would just stay camped out right there. The key is this. This is the key for me, is I'm not there to get something. Because when I used to pray, I used to show up and say, okay, I'm giving you 15, 20, 30 minutes, and you need to show up.
Right.
And when you don't show up, there's a problem here.
And how absurd is that? I mean, when you really think about, oh my gosh, I did that for over 20 years of my life. I was telling the God of the universe what to do in my life.
Oh, when I went back to this big time earlier this year, it was back in spring, I think. No, it was in the summer. I did that for about a month, 3 weeks, and I was just, it was the same old thing, the same old frustration, right? The same old nothing was there. And finally one morning I got quiet enough and the God of the universe showed up and just spoke quietly in my thoughts, right? And I don't hear a voice, just quietly in my thoughts. And he's asked me this question because he always teaches me with questions.
Right.
Because the questions are far more important than the answers.
Absolutely.
And he asked me this question, Mark, who gets to decide when I show up? Well, I would really like to, but I just went, okay, God. And now I'll spend entire sessions, and my sessions range from 30 minutes to an hour and a half.
Right.
Really just depends on the time. I'll just love him. Just be right there. If it gets really quiet, and now it's gotten easier to get quiet. And then in the stillness, you'll get a thought. And I used to think those thoughts were me. Now I get it. If I had two main pieces of advice, one would be the prayer of silence. So learn to shut up.
Right.
Right. And the second one is journal. Write it down.
Yeah.
And I force myself to write it down because there's something, even when I go, oh, that's not significant, there's something that occurs when I actually take the time, put the pen to the paper and let it flow.
And allowing God to show up when he wants to show up is his deal. And see, for me, because I was so needy all of my life, Mark, it was, well, wait a second, if I try this and he decides not to show up for a week, what happens? Mm-hmm. Well, you keep going. Right. It's part of the journey. He's teaching us to learn how to renew our minds and not to be able to get something. And then lastly, not to tell him what to do.
Just step with him.
God loves you more than you know. You say that all the time. That's one of your key principles. And could you say more on that?
Oh, sure. Well, now I keep a list of what God's taught me in the last 5 years. I think I'm up to about 40 significant things. Occasionally, I'll show that list to people, and they'll look at it and go, what's the big deal, Mark?
Right.
But that's the journey, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's not your journey. It's my journey.
Absolutely.
And God wants it to be like that, because what's his greatest desire? I believe his greatest desire is for us to draw near to him and listen intimately to his voice and let him guide and lead and love us.
Because as someone involved in sexual sin, my greatest desire is to be intimate with my spouse and Almighty God, which means that I've got to know and be known. I've got to let him know that I'm okay with the skin that he's put me in, right?
That's exactly right. And so for me, I was raised in church. I kind of remember God gave me an image of my kindergarten Sunday school teacher kneeling down and giving me a huge hug and whispering these words in my ear, Jesus loves you, Mark. Every Sunday, my entire kindergarten year. The problem with that was this. I bundled it up, put it on a shelf, and figured I knew all there was to know about God's love for me. Jesus, I got it.
Right.
And it was about 4 years ago, he showed up and he said, no, let's get that box off the shelf and let's start working on really how much I loved you. And that's been the most transformative thing.
We're speaking with Mark Miller, Phoenix Chapter President of Truth at Work. Is it Truth at Work?
It's truthatwork.org.
.org for more information on what Mark does here in the Phoenix market. We only have just a minute or so left here, Mark, and we're going to continue this conversation for next week.
Oh, cool.
We want to continue learning, and it is a learned process on how to pray.
It is.
Right? There is no doubt.
Mark, the good news is he'll teach you.
Mark, thank you for your time. This is a listener-supported broadcast. You go to DustinDanielsRadio.com. You can subscribe to the iTunes there, their podcast there, 7places.org, another opportunity for free online community, video blogs, and a whole lot of help. If you want to follow me on Twitter, it's @PurityPastor and Facebook.com/DustinDanielsRadio. The Word of God says the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. And we will see you next week. God bless you.
Thank you you for listening to the Dustin Daniels Show. We pray that this radio program has helped you with the challenges that you are facing in your life. We are a listener-supported ministry. To make a donation or for resources that were mentioned on today's program, please visit Seven Places Ministry at sevenplaces.org. That's S-E-V-E-N places.org. The Dustin Daniels Show is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with regard to the subject matter covered. This information is given with the understanding that neither the host nor the station is engaged in rendering professional counseling advice that pertains to your personal situation. Since the details of your situation are fact-dependent, we suggest you seek the services of a competent, Christ-based counseling professional.